Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I can't say it enough how much God loves us. He loves us so much. And His return is imminent. Never before in the history of time has the Lord's return been so imminent. And He loves all of His people. And He cares about each and every one of us. But the Lord has a strategy. The wicked are guaranteed to do wickedly. Daniel said that. The wicked will do wickedly. They will do wickedness and they will not understand. So, and I love, you know, God loves all of us. He loves those that are true and righteous. But those that are wicked are dangerous people. They're dangerous to the things of God. They work against it willingly. And they're not supposed to, but they do it anyway. Now, God is not like man. God loves us anyway. His love goes far beyond what we can normally comprehend. But we experience it in Jesus. He forgives us of all of our sins, and He loves us. And He has redeemed His people. And He has a plan against the wicked. He's going to do something about sin. He's going to put it away. Now in Mark chapter 16, Jesus put it very plainly. He said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's very powerful. Now He said this after He rose for us. He that believeth not shall be damned. They will be condemned. They will be punished. They will be tormented. They will go to hell. They will not live. They will not enjoy time. They will be damned. And people use that for a cursing phrase. Damned. They didn't want God in their life. And now they can't have God in their life. You know, being separated from God is worse than the fire of hell. Being separated from God in this life is miserable. But being separated from God and being placed in the lake of fire is terrible. And the Lord let me see hell in 1986. January of 1986 is forever etched in my memory. I cannot forget it. I still see the details. I still remember. I can tell you what I saw. I can tell you what happened. And I saw people from all around the world falling into that. It looked like a cave. And a lake was under it. A lake of fire was under it. It was not pretty. You don't want to. It's something you'd love to forget about. But I'm glad that He showed it to me because it gave me a drive. You know, compassion comes from love and hate. I love God's will and I want God's will on His people. And I hate to see people get punished and be damned. And you know, the dream focused on two people, a lady that was in her early 20s and a young man that was, he was 15. And he died at the hand of modern day pirates back in 1986. I remember the clothes he was wearing. It took years for me to realize they were still dressed in whatever they died in. And, you know, Paul said he couldn't remember, he couldn't tell whether in the body or out of body. Because when you die, you look... It looked like you're wearing the clothes you died in. I don't know how that works, but that's what I saw and that's what I have to deal with. So God loves His people. But He has a plan for the living, a plan of redemption, and a plan of destruction for the wicked. And I've been considering the rapture. I even saw the rapture in a vision in 1984. I was in sacking groceries I was working at Food Giant grocery store in Huffman. And it was open in those days. And I said, I'm sacking groceries one Saturday morning. And I said, well, Lord, what would the rapture be like? And immediately He showed me the rapture. I saw a lady in a red dress. I heard the horn and I saw her disappear, red dress and all. And about 30 people in the store that morning, about 5 people disappeared with her in my peripheral vision. I'm still sacking groceries. I was the observer. I didn't go anywhere. I saw what the what a person that would be left behind would see. And so it gave me understanding what it would be like. From the perspective of the observer, you know, but that's what I saw. Now, from the perspective of a believer, I wasn't ready to see that yet, because we'll see him as he is and we'll be purified. So I saw from the perspective of the wicked that are left behind, that, you know, didn't get saved. So this is the thing. He said to me in 2017, I talk about it much, but he said, "Tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left." Wickedness is something you have to reject. And, you know, this year more than any other year, I taught how you can't just choose God's word. You have to also reject the world system. Jesus said the same things as he addressed the seven churches. And you have to, he commended them for whatever they had. They had discernment. They could tell when people were lying to them. They could tell when people were, people would say they were apostles and they turned out not to be. They knew that. People said they were Jews and they turned out they were false. So they could tell some things. And he wanted them to stay in that first love. Now, we have to do what Israel did, what Joshua told them to do. Possess Canaan land and drive out all of the Canaanites, all of the giants, all of the tribes. Don't make deals with them. Drive them out, Jesus said. And, you know, back then Jesus appeared as the captain of the Lord's host. So he gave him good instruction, perfect instruction. Israel was supposed to drive them out. But for whatever reason, like modern man would do, they don't do what God said. And they paid a high price for it. He said, if you don't drive them out, they'll be like thorns in your sides and smoke in your eyes. So what's going on in modern day Christendom? No, let me take that back. The Laodicean church. The Laodicean church is trying to receive what God is saying and hold on to parts of the world that they like. And because it's in their heart, it's in their doctrine, it's in their belief system, it's in their ways. And the Lord said, he wished you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, you will be spit out. This is very important. He that believes and is baptized will live. He that believes not will be damned. Why won't people believe what God is saying? Why is it so hard? You know, I learned a lot of dynamic things from the Lord that really helped me go forward. I learned not to do it, after being washed in the blood of the Lamb, where we were made righteous. And then Jesus said, from there, let your light shine. He said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. If we do what God said, if we believe him, and keep him as the captain of the Lord's host. In other words, don't just look at Jesus as a savior that don't care about what we actually do in life, but look at him as a king. He's our savior. We experience that. Nobody can take that from you. Once you believe on Jesus, you know you have a reference for life because you've entered into it. And you have a reference for the logic of God. You've entered into it. You have his word. It strengthens you. And if you want to do things God's way and win in life, you have to do it in his strength. And that's the easy way to do that, is to receive the word in your heart. And then the Holy Spirit can train you in life. He will help you see what to do. He'll help you know what to do. He'll give you wisdom and understanding and this intelligence. But when people try to live in their own strength, They live the whole day trying not to sin. That's a miserable way to live. But some people actually pull it off. They're just doing it the hard way. And some people give up. Some people are scattered because they don't study the word. And when people don't try to build without Christ, without his guidance, now they'll study the word, but Jesus is not their Lord. They don't do everything he said. They do some of the things he said. and called it the will of God. And one of the things that people do commonly, they don't drive out all the Canaanites. They allow themselves to be lazy. They allow things to, they allow doubt, unbelief. These things are treacherous. Doubt is a sin against yourself. Doubt limits you from being, for doing what God would have you do. And it's really the hard way to live. It's easy to drive it out. Now, I do it this way. I say everything that's not like God's got to go. It's, that means anything in my blind spot, which there can be many things in my blind spot. Though I mean well, there could be things that I don't want to be in my blind spot, in my blind spot anyway. And I found things as I endeavored to get to know God. I would say, Lord, what am I missing? Something not right. And then he helped me see it. And then he told me things, key things that I needed so that I could live. One time, he said, don't ever worry about money in my presence. And that opened the door for me to learn many things. That means I had to reject every thought of worrying about finances and stop trying to take care of all the things in my strength. And, you know, that was about 10 years ago or 8 years ago. And I never forgot it. And I stopped cold turkey. I stopped putting pressure on myself to perform. I stopped putting pressure on myself to figure things out. I started living. I stopped worrying about what I didn't have and looking. See, you got to believe God. And Jesus said, if you believe and doubt not in your heart, that means you got to do something against the interference. Don't let it exist in you. Doubt, unbelief, they're treacherous. They don't have to exist in you. Now, some people will say fornication and adultery, witchcraft. Well, if you've been washed in blood, the love of God is in you, and you don't have a love desire for those things. Your flesh may desire it. Your mind may be leavened to like it. But guess what? All those evil things that are labeled as evil in Galatians 5 can be driven out of your life, and sat along with the dependency of it, the so-called illusional satisfaction of it. God designed things to perform in his love. People are, they become a slave to sex, and God gave that to married people to enjoy life, to reproduce, to edify each other. And it has a holy purpose, not an evil purpose, not a perverted purpose. It's not wrong in marriage. It should. And then the enemy, he tempt people that's married to work to be offended at each other and hold themselves back from one another, which is basically a form of witchcraft. It's trying to, you know, that's not the way to live. When you're married, you do everything in your power to be a blessing to your spouse. You love your spouse. You pray for your spouse. You share your life with them. And you love them like Jesus loved you. And you put them first and not last. You give them, so there are women that give their husbands good advice. And there are women that listen to their friends and their jealous friends and their sisters and aunties that don't have a husband. They listen to their poor advice and ruin their marriage. And they make their husbands bitter. There are husbands that cheat on their wives and lust after other women and don't put their wife first and put other things first and ignore their wives and go to clubs with their friends when they should be at home getting to know the wife that's got their back. I've seen all this happen. And then they decide to drink or they end up in drugs. Doing drugs or selling drugs, and they get departed from their wife when they go to jail, or she get tired of being put in the back and she leave. You know, he won't spend time with, he loves the world. The world is invasive. It will steal every part of your life. It will steal the joy of your life, and it'll make you a slave. Slavery is not gone. It's just sin. If you serve sin, it's slavery. You know, the spirits that were behind natural slavery, you know, in America, it's been abolished, but the spirits are still here. Those demon spirits are still here. And they get in the banks, credit cards. It's a spirit. It's witchcraft. It's no different. It's rebellion. All rebellion is just like witchcraft. I mean, what's the difference? Drug dealers. The same spirits that was on the old slave masters of old is drug dealers. People wanting to sell people drugs to make them zombies that come back and spend money for their concoctions, their witchcraft. Just call it what it is, witchcraft. It's evil. It's not of God. Anything that makes you dependent on man, anything that makes you dependent causes you to be Satan's slave. If you love one, you're going to hate. You can't serve two masters. Jesus proved it to. He told us. He warned us. He showed us. No, he said no man can do it. It's already proven. No man can serve two masters. He's going to love one and hate the other. So the people that Jesus leave behind, he has to leave them behind because they will not live. They will not choose life. They will not grow up. They will be seduced. And they will cause other people to be seduced. They will scatter the church. Tares. But everybody that break through, they will live. This is why you have to fill your heart with the word, because too many people have given over to Baal. Too many people are, you know, they watch these shows on TV that allures them out in the world. It's a phony way of life. It's not what God had in mind. They don't even have a vision within them what God intended. They don't have vision for it. They don't have hope for it. And where there's no vision, the people what perish. So many people are perishing. And then if you lack knowledge, you'll be destroyed. Many people are destroyed because they lack knowledge. And because they don't know how good life can be, they can't value it. Now, I've seen people who receive God's word. They're washed in the blood. They're growing up. They're going forward. They love God. And they enjoy his presence. And they worship him. And they have a relationship with him. And their conversation is so much better. And they don't have the same problems that Christians that don't have studied the word. There are some devoted Christians, they're just so busy, they don't study the word, and they live like Martha. They're up and they're down. They're in and they're out. They don't know what to do. They go to church, they receive the word, but they don't have root in themselves. Because they won't take time and receive God. You have to take time and receive the word and drive out the darkness. Because it's trying to suffocate you. It's trying to get you back to the dependency, the rotten dependency of the world system. And then there's doubt. There's unbelief. You're looking at your life instead of the word. You know, no matter what problems you have in life, always look at Jesus. And I say that because I've had some doozies. I had some terrible problems that I hated. But I asked the Lord, I involved God. I said, Lord, show me how to conquer this. I don't know what I'm doing. And I told, that's when you can get a miracle. That's when you can get some help. And the Lord taught me to study his word. Now, when I first started studying, reading the 15 chapters a day like he prescribed to me, I felt like, well, I got to do this, but I need to make so much money. And you know, but eventually what happened was, I received the word and I stopped making the poor decisions and started making better decisions. And I was able to make adjustments, necessary adjustments. I had a relationship and the Lord could show me how to do things in a greater way. And I would do better and better, and not quite like I wanted, but it was better than it was. And eventually, God helped me to see what I, you know, greater things, and I was able to do greater things, and I was able to live better. I was always graduating from glory to glory. And then he gave me assignments, and within the assignments, see, when you follow God, you always excel. You do better. You start off crawling. You end up walking. and then you end up running, and then you end up leaping, and then you run at a faster pace, and then a faster pace. Well, the same thing, you find yourself doing things in a greater way, and it's a gradual, the reason that you're excelling is because the Holy Spirit will give you greater things. For an example, I started off doing a 15-minute radio broadcast on Sunday at 3 o'clock. After a few months, the Lord enabled me to do it on Saturdays as well. A man gave me $350. I said, well, I'm going to use this money to go on. I'm going to use all of it on the radio. I'm going to start playing the broadcast on Saturday morning as well as Sunday until the money runs out. And as I, he says, and he agreed. He said, well, good. Because the Lord told him to give it to me. And I wanted him to know that I wasn't going to just go and blow it. I was going to use it for what he gave it to me for. And the Lord said, if you go on the air on Saturday, I'll keep you on. And he did. So I stayed on the air for many years. I didn't have to go off. The Lord enabled me to stay on. It wasn't easy, but I did it in his strength. And I work on the side to do it. And the Lord blessed me with somebody that helps me pay the cost. And then the radio's changed. Now the radio station, the year came, another graduation happened. That was one excel. I went on the radio on Saturday. Another thing happened. I thought about my brother that died while my daddy was preaching. My mother would have had a brother that would have been 3 years older than me. And my mother fell down an escalator in Loveman's. But the baby was born at home while daddy was away preaching. And I didn't know that he was away preaching. I didn't know how it happened. My sisters and my mother told me that he died when daddy was out preaching. And he was stillborn. And they named him Gene. You know, I said, the enemy did that to hinder my parents, to cause a problem, because they were doing God's work. And I've been done that way, but the enemy did things against me while I was trying to do good, and I got mad. So because I got angry, I said, Lord, I want revenge. I said, Satan was behind this. He started this fight, but I want revenge. This is what I want you to do. I want you to help me win all the souls that I'm supposed to win in my life, and all the souls that my brother should have won if he followed you. And, you know, and the Lord heard my prayer. And one day, the word of the Lord came to me saying, I've given you a louder voice. And I said, what are you talking about, Lord? He didn't say anything right then. I went to the radio station, and Mr. Richardson called me to his office. He knew I was there. I went back there. He showed me a map of Alabama. He said, Thurston, this is the broadcast range of Alabama, of WJLD. He said, I bought another station in Jasper, WIXI. And they played both broadcasts simultaneously. I said, wow. He said, so you're on both stations. And guess what? He didn't charge me any more money. That was a graduation. That was a promotion. The Lord said, I've given you a louder voice. And not only that, he bought an FM station for a while. So I was on two FM stations and an FM station also. And then I was dialing the radio and found myself on another FM station. See, he has since sold one FM station, but he buys stations. And, you know, I might be on an FM station this weekend. I don't know. But then they went all music on Saturday, and I stayed on the radio broadcast till they stopped doing ministry on Saturday. So that's fine. Because on Sunday, I come on at 12 and then on 3. And sometimes more people listen on Sunday. You know, you have to look at things from God's perspective. Promotion. And then the Lord gave me an assignment. After all this happened, he said, I want you, instead of doing 15-minute broadcasts, I want you to do 30. And the radio station, now this is his instruction to me. The radio station is going to play the first 15 minutes, and the other 15 minutes, those that are hungry will go on the website and they'll get the other. And every broadcast, the Lord had me saying things for those that are hungry. See, you have to follow the wisdom of God. These are promotions. And then in 20, uh, 16, the Lord gave me heart to heart. And that's where all that revelation went that he taught me for the last 30 years. And the Lord, even though people didn't follow God to his specifications, they followed God to theirs, the Lord kept training me and teaching me. And I used to feel like, well, what's the purpose? Nobody's listening. But God was raising up an audience that would hear him. So if you go on these broadcasts, you're part of it. So God has a way of doing things when people want. And he told me he was going to do this a long time ago. Back in the early 90s, he told me that if his preachers didn't follow him, he was going to raise up another generation that would. And they'll follow him to his specifications, not theirs, not traditions, not organizations. See, you can't overcome evil with evil. You have to overcome evil with good. And God is raising up people that will drive out all the Canaanites and stop trying to live according to the wicked world. Now, those who were wicked, those that are hungry, and they had pastors that would compromise with the world, they hate that compromise. They have compassion and they have love for God and they hate wickedness. So when God raised them up, they're not going to do the same mistakes that their predecessors did. They're going to do it God's way and not man's way. And they know what to watch out for. It's just like the generation my generation, we grew up in the 60s, 70s. We've grown in the 80s. And then in the 80s, see, people got on crack. Well, when people my age began to be parents, they didn't let their children, the good parents that were not on crack, our generation don't let children go to people's houses. We don't let them go outside in the yard and play. We take them to the park if we live in a rough neighborhood like I did. I didn't let my children go out of the yard. I took them to Oak Mountain. I took them to East Lake. I took them to my kinfolk's house, my brother-in-law's house, around good people that love God. That's where we let them play. We didn't let them play, spend the night over somebody's house that one parent might be on drugs or something, or children that were mischievous. We didn't let them play like that because we saw, we knew what the dangers were. See, when people see phoniness and hypocrisy and compromise and they know what's out there, they're not going to intentionally allow their people to go and be part of it. So it's the same thing. Spirit, it happened naturally. I've seen so many children, they play in the yard, their parents, you see them at the park with their parents. Now, sorry parents will let them do whatever and they end up on drugs and then they have to bail them out of jail and pay court costs and lawyers. And I've seen all these things, but the wiser parents, they don't let their children go out of the yard. They protect them. And because they were taught right, they do, the next generation will do their children that way. And now that's, I remember in 08 to 2016, the pregnancy rate dropped because there were so many people that wouldn't let their children just leave them to themselves. The abortion rate dropped and the pregnancy rate dropped. I remember that. So, but it escalated after the 60s. And then when people saw how the world was, they kept their children at home and they taught them. Now, many Christians don't teach their children at home. The wiser ones do. And their children will live forever. But there are many people that don't teach their children the word. They don't read it themselves. And they take them to church, take them to Sunday school, but they don't have study the word and they don't teach their children the word at home. And so their children end up believing all kind of stuff, shacking up, doing things they shouldn't do. And sometimes, you can teach them the way that they should go, and they still might act, do crazy things. Some people are just love the world. And I thank God for that scripture that says, if you raise up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he won't depart. Well, I stand on that. But I taught my children the word, and whenever we talk about the word, and they have, I want them to do what's right in or out of my sight. I said, you got to follow God. I said, God is not going to do this a second time. This is, this dog and pony show, this judgment process that God is doing, once it's done, it's done. So when he returns, which he will, he's going to judge. Everybody caught off guard will be judged. He pleaded with them. He talked to them. He warned them many, many times, many ways. But they continually did it their way. So he's about to return. And things are very serious now. But every day you wake up, if you seek the Lord about how, what to do, and how he wants you to live, what options he wants you to choose in ministry, he'll lead you, he'll guide you. He wants you to, he's going to help you do something that you normally could not do. And it's very important. You can't do what other people do. You have to live by the words of Jesus. You have to live by the words and doctrine of the apostles and the prophets that were pointing to Christ. You have to do it all. Jesus said himself, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I've heard good ministers water that down. You cannot live by the world. Jesus said, the real Jesus said, to love the world somewhere, to love the world is to be at enmity with God. He also said you can't serve two masters. So you can't dabble in sin. If you're going to fool with sin, you're going to get seduced. And the Lord told me also, the reason the pastors that didn't follow me, that didn't hear what you said and follow me, the reason they didn't follow me, and he meant according to his specifications, they followed him according to their specifications. He said, the reason they didn't follow me is because of seducing spirits. They believed something else instead of what he said. So it is what